Great. Oksana got her PhD in philosophy from the Russian Academy of Sciences, Moscow. She's a member of the Sodalot Collective and an editor of the Theory Rubric in New Literary Observer magazine and publishing house. She is currently the researcher at the Theory Department at the Jan van Eyck Academy. Yes, my advisor would smack me for that. My inability to speak every language. And the author of the book, Introduction to the Critical Philosophy... Erotical philosophy, excuse me, of Bataille.
It's my...
Your handwriting. We got the bio this morning. Okay, thank you, Oksana. And your paper is Break the Vicious Circle, Contemporary Art Between Religion and Politics.
Yeah. Something about this. First of all, I have to say that, here I'm talking from the perspective of my experience of being a member of the group Что делать, which is the group which aims to Что делать means what is to be done. There are some artists, there are some philosophers, writers there, and it aims to combine art practice and theory with political activism. And as soon as our group appeared in Russian art scene and made itself known there, we were immediately blamed and attacked by the artistic milieu for openly supporting leftist political discourse and program. And here it's something weird, but there, you know, Marxism or something like this is still forbidden and Marxists are obviously bad guys, so we were attacked. And thinking about our experience of survival in the jungle made me to prepare some considerations, generally speaking, about the role of an artist in let's say society. In characterizing the relationship between art and life, we have to avoid, first of all, two extremes. On the one hand, this high-flying idea of about the development of art just according to its own laws and inner laws and its own immanent logic, regardless of the context. And from the other hand, explanations of all the facts of artistic life by its unilateral dependence on a social conjuncture. With the development of capitalism in Russia, these two extremes stand out as two directions and two general intentions of the reflexive waters of the field of contemporary art. So for more than 10 years, 15 years, actually, the aesthetic debate in Russia has endlessly circled around the contradiction between the so-called autonomous or pure art on the one hand and engaged or political art on the other. The adherents of artistic autonomy understand this as a pure self-sufficiency of the artwork and claim that artists with political ambitions will necessarily end up with aesthetical degradation. In turn, the followers of politically, socially engaged art, active art, accuse the opponents of idealism, conformism, or loyalty to the authorities. So the truth lies obviously somewhere in between, and indeed art is autonomous, and yet that autonomy is itself a product of a fundamental unfreedom, an unfreedom before which artists are extremely vulnerable, since it is the condition of their labor. Artists can resist the status quo or surf it, but both in their resistance and in their service. They never kiss dedicated the everyday experience to the laws of aesthetic perception, which they establish themselves in order to do violence to reality. Art is truly autonomous only and sovereign only in the sense that it establish its own law within itself and for itself, but this sovereignty and this autonomy derives its energy and its productive force from relations, but not from the absence of relations. Its source is in a way outside it, in the material world in which artist tries his formal scheme. Here and now, the freedom of an artist consists in undergoing the experience of unfreedom in order to turn it into a certain form. This experience can be religious, political, social, existential, sexual, or whatever. And as it often happens, its modified form imposes on us something transcendental, which is supposedly lying behind it. In the situation of a quite secular contemporary art, aesthetic form seemingly does not really refer to the infinitely superior totality, or, for example, of the presence of God. Instead, it pretends to be self-sufficient without any external instance competent to define its meaning and its value. Concern for the achievement of an absolute autonomy of form from this transcendental instance or ideology or something seems to be like a path to freedom, but on that path one can meet a very strange traces. Some years ago in spring 2008, you could see in Centre Pompidou, you could see a huge exhibition called Traces of the Sacred, the relationships between Western art and spirituality in 20th century, which included works of by most every famous artist, as well as of some writers, philosophers, and musicians from the Romanticism of 19th century till nowadays. According to the concept according to the concept of the exhibition, secularization liberated artists from the church, but did not deliver them from a metaphysical questioning about the intimate essence of being. From Goya to Kandinsky, from Malevich to, I don't know, Picasso, and from Newman to Viola, art allegedly continues to bear witness of something beyond. And the modern art, which, as you know, passed through Marxism, psychoanalysis, and other practices of radical atheism, from this perspective, just invents new expressive forms of this relation to some invisible beyond, also according to this concept, between the epoch of Romanticism and the present time, there is a continuing tradition which maintains the sacred in a profane situation. That was the idea of the exhibition in Paris, which is not in fact the only example of collaboration between religion and contemporary art. And there was, I don't remember the year, there was, for example, a huge exhibition like Artist in In Search of God, something in London, I don't know, a lot. For example, among many other projects, there was the Singapore Biennale in 2006, entitled Believe, as well as the the big exhibition project I Believe in Moscow in 2007. And this letter, later, exhibition, I Believe, is very emblematic of the Russian situation, insofar as it took place 5 years after another exhibition called Caution Religion, which was vandalized by a group of Orthodox believers in 90s. Orthodox believers. And the organizers of Caution Religion, the artists, attacked religious symbols, were prosecuted. In the course of a long humiliating trial, it became obvious then in Russia, in the absence of official censorship, state power is able to control the art scene using the instrument of the Russian Orthodox Church. In such a context, the exhibition called I Believe was clearly, and it advanced so-called positivity and non-criticism as its slogans, was clearly to be interpreted as a demonstration of the loyalty of the artist community, local artist community, to power, to the state power, and to the Orthodox Church. Taking into account these peculiarities of the local disposition, I must, however, and it was actually some other cases, for example, artist friend of mine, Avdiy Tereganyan, was persecuted, and he ran away from Russia for breaking the icons. So he cannot go back there. So he lives in Prague and Berlin and whatever. Oleg Mavromati is also like a kind of case of non-loyal to the church artist who should just go abroad, anyway. So, taking into account these peculiarities, I must, however, emphasize that the new Russian believers, just a variation of a common, quite a general symptom, entirely described by Nietzsche, and I quote: "Art raises its head where the religions relax their hold. It takes over a host of moods and feelings engendered by religion, lays them to its heart, and itself grows more profound and soulful, so that it is now capable of communicating exaltation and enthusiasm as it formerly could not. The wealth of religion, religious feelings, swollen to a torrent, breaks forth again and seeks to conquer new regions, but the growth of the Enlightenment undermined the dogmas of religion and inspired a fundamental distrust of them, so that the feelings expelled from the sphere of religion by the Enlightenment throw themselves into art, in individual cases into political life as well, and even straight into the science. Wherever we perceive human endeavors to be tinted with a higher, gloomier coloring, we can assume that dread of spirits, the odor of incense, and the shadows of church are still adherent to them." It's from Human All to Human. And indeed, neither the process of what Max Weber defined as disenchantment of the world, not the death of God as a kind of a historical event, are something surprising now. But as new evidence makes clear, neither this process nor this event actually have been completed. The world was not entirely disenchanted, and after the death of God, a ghost remains with which the ghost of communism, which is still wandering around, has to meet, let's say, face to face. There is a war going on, and between two spectral forms of existence called into being by two forms of critics of capitalism, actually. Because, you know, believers, they too call it into question. They ask themselves, is there in our society satiated by materialism, rationalism, market, and consumption, or whatever, any place for spirituality? And they already know the answer. Of course, there is. And it is art that occupies this privileged place. But the fact is that there is no contradiction between the spiritual and the market. Consumption in our time is a full-grown spiritual practice, and capitalism deals a lot with religion, as you already know, of course. Thus, at the beginning of Capital... 5 minutes, okay. Sorry, I thought it's quite... The paper seems quite short. It's always like... let's see. I will just continue this, and then I have something strange to say, but probably I will skip it. As you know, Marx describes the commodity, compares the commodity to human being, who supposedly has a body and soul. Use value is the body of the commodity, whereas its value, that is, the exchange value, is an analog of the soul. So, and this soul, free of materiality, due to its correspondence with the universal equivalent, considers itself as the very nature and the very essence of the human being or of the commodity. In Marx, the souls of the commodities speak to each other in a language of value, constituting by themselves what Walter Benjamin called the spirit that speaks through the ornamentation of banknotes. But this banknote spirit lies. I will skip just all the quotations from Marx, and because you all know them, so they are just beautiful. It's hard to resist. He's talking about the commodity fetishism. Yeah, and it looks like the production of value tears the commodity away from its origin, that is matter and labor. That is to say, value makes a commodity forget matter and labor, and we too forget it insofar as in modern capitalism, the general mediums of value, brands and trademarks, are allocated very far from the real production of commodity bodies, or somehow pushed to some invisible and non-socially represented area. That's why I speak about the oblivion of labor by capital. To assume, actually, we could say about art, so that, I'm just, in, let's say, there is a kind of a general process which can be described as a domination of form over, for example, matter, because the matter, like, becoming more and more should conform itself to a kind of to the forms, and commodity forms change all the time, so the matter becomes more and more amorphous in a way, in order to be like flexible, And art participate itself by taking this idea of autonomy. It paradoxically coming to this love affair with religion, and because it itself like take part in this movement, general movement, like a round the clock movement from the left to right, from let's say liberation movement to fetishization, like from birth to death or something like this. So yeah, it's kind of a complicated thesis, but I think you've got the point. So I just wanted to say at the very end, of if I can just I have a feeling, like a kind of intuition, that the relationship, like this friendship and solidarity between art and theory and politics, slightly coming to an end. So because it's becoming like a everybody probably, I mean, it's something clear in a way, but nobody really talk about that, because you know there is a certain market when art and theory participate in production of value, in the production of value, and this mutual, like more collaboration than solidarity in a political way, so probably makes this friendship between them a kind of a fake, but we'll see. I just
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.